satisfy you.
Here it is, guys, the audio of our live show of Furry Fiesta. Unfortunately, those of y'all who have followed us for any length of time and know about our history with live shows know that we're a little bit cursed. This time was no exception. That's why we had redundancies, and we had several backups on the table. So this is the audio ripped from Khaki Doggies, a.k.a. Alex Vance's recorder, which means, huzzah, you guys get to hear what we talked about at this live show. It's not going to sound the best, but what can you do? Hopefully we'll be able to record. We'll all be well and not sick here coming up on the 9th. And we'll be able to do a live show. Well, a show. Here you go.
A shrine. I got extra points for checking into my first ever shrine.
Extra points, so. Guys. Extra points.
Yes. Extra internet fun bucks that you can do absolutely nothing with. It's amazing. Okay. So, first thing I wanted to get out of the way.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Before we hit the meat of the show. So, have most of you listened to the last episode or two of the show? Yep. So most of you are clued in on this. Okay, so I put out the idea, kind of as a joke, that I would do something horrible for Saverin's birthday. Now, his birthday is in June. Bad Dragon makes a mare toy. You could select multiple different colors, and there is a lovely shade of what I would describe as rainbow dash blue. Yes. So I said I would order this for him.
I think he's actually turning red.
That's Big Macintosh colors. Red.
That's the Rule 63 version.
Oh, look who's arrived. That's the latest ever.
Yay.
Oh, look at these miscreants sneaking in.
So, my idea was to make a box with the labels that you can print on and package the thing as horrifically as possible. And then I found out how much it costs, and I was like, dude, $120 is a little bit too much for a gag gift, but I'll get you a birthday present. Threw it out there as a joke that if listeners donated, I would do it. And he committed to making an unboxing video if that actually happened.
And I'm like, oh, no one's going to do that.
So we received $155 in listener donations.
Like the day after it went live.
So thank you, listeners.
Oh, God, I'm getting the whiteboard.
Thank you, listeners, for fueling my horrible imagination. So,
my
it takes
face.
About 6 weeks to make, so I've already ordered the toy. Like the day after
I
got
the paper. Just
going
to put
out.
It in my closet somewhere in the corner and just not look at it.
So you guys have forced me to be creative now. So Bad Dragon's going to be at FWA, and I'm either going to go up there and measure the box dimensions and take pictures, or I'll just DM the guys that run it and get the information. But I've got to start coming up with something really awful. I don't know if I have the technical expertise to make it like squeak or say, that was awesome on every thrust. Or...
We've already scared off Guardian.
Either that or oh my goodness,
really?
He's just like, nope.
I'm out of here. So I just wanted to announce that Dick Starter project had been completely funded, and we'll be going forward with that. Look for an unboxing video sometime after Saffron's birthday.
Find something on the net that says, oh, you're 20% cooler.
6 hours of pure pony pleasure. I'll have to get the secret butt fun on there as well. So
I'm so red right now.
I know. It's
so
wonderful.
Red. I'm so embarrassed. You
know, rub a cold soda against your face, you'll feel better.
Oh, I got the vapors.
Now, somebody told me recently that the vapors referred to a fart.
Fuck if I know.
The origin of that.
I don't know.
Someone can Wikipedia that and determine the...
Let us know.
You have gas? Okay.
Yeah, you know, some lady at a corset ripped one so bad that someone passed out and they had the vapors.
Well, the more you know.
That's horrifying.
I
someone check that on Snopes and make sure whether that's just a rumor or not.
So, I noticed a certain gentleman just walked in the back. Wolf, can you come forward a minute? Come on.
We're summoning you to the front. Dun, dun, dun.
In your own time, but
it's not
please.
Even a walk of shame this time. I mean,
it's a walk of shame, but not the fun part.
We have a gift for you.
We do.
We do. We wrapped it.
You don't have to unbox this one.
What the? I forget what it actually says on there.
So
pretty horrible.
The shirt reads,
"Somewhere in Texas, I'm drunk. And I can't find my horse."
I know he's in the back, but, you know.
Somebody's got to ride in an S, though.
You have more than one? I thought one was enough.
Well, it's horses.
Horses ghost.
But not plural, it's possessive. Well,
thank you, guys.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know.
I'll don this and I'll wear it proudly tomorrow.
Yay.
Why, what's with me?
Your horse is here. Over.
Oh, getting excited.
Oh, accidentally all the cables.
I got all excited. I thought I was going to get that thing that I was going to fuck.
So we'll have to start another project for you.
Another dick. Well, you know, that sounds like a great project, just dick starter for furs that really need to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
There we go.
Totally, yeah. A fully owned subsidiary for Planet Productions.
In partnership with Bad Dragons.
So, did we want to start off with an email here?
Yeah, we can start off with an email. You want to pull one up? You've got the phone. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
It's the least you can do and after you embarrass me like that. God.
Yeah, but I'll be embarrassed if I pull out a terrible one by accident.
I think it's hilarious, though.
It'll be hilarious to watch.
My face won't be on the video. Be like, what's in the box? Oh, a box! Wait a minute.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. The subject line's Furry Fiesta 2012.
How pertinent.
I see the whiteboard in motion in the back there. I'm wondering what they're planning. Okay. Dear Notcast, I will be attending Furry Fiesta this year as my first con, which is very exciting. So who all is this your first con? Do we have more than one? Or? First furry con, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Actually, quite a few. Welcome to the madness. I hope you're having a good time.
So we know it's one of them.
Yes. I was honestly curious, not attempting to narrow the field or anything.
Welcome to our ocean of weird.
I've been living in Colorado for 11 years now, but we'll be moving back to Texas shortly after the con to Odessa or Beaumont or Arthur. I was wondering how one might go about meeting furs at a con based on where they live, or if there is any way to do so easily. As I have not lived in Texas for so long now, I don't really know anyone there, and I would prefer not to feel so alienated when moving back. Any help would be greatly appreciated, and I look forward to meeting you all. Mariko Wolf. Oops. P.S. An email response would be preferred.
Oops.
I was wondering when you were going to get to that part.
I'm sorry.
Wait, we're supposed to read these things?
We can fix that in post, although Zachary's lazy.
There is no post.
He's too busy reading Clopfic. I'm sorry. So, finding furs based on location at a con.
So Fuzz, as a generic question for people who might be attending Furry Fiesta as their first convention, how would they go about meeting other furs here? Not that this relates to any situation in particular.
Well, it's funny you should ask that.
What a good question, Kyle.
What do you think, Saverin? What would you say?
Well, there's always the my first furry con panels, which was today, I think, at some point. There's always the meet and greets for the various subgroups, things like the scaly meet and greet and stuff like that. If I had the schedule in front of me, I could totally tell you.
Oh, you don't have the My Con Book app? Oh, I'm sorry, they don't have
that. Oh, wait.
Well,
okay, hey, look at that.
I'm like
two Englishmen trying to get through a door. Oh no, please, I insist. No, you're good.
Well, two Americans just get out of the way. No, you get out of my way.
Then you both try, like, okay, so there was the furry scientist meet and greet today at like 10 o'clock. The R Furry Reddit meet and greet. There was, there's always that darn werewolf game. God. Play it like a million times every con.
Half the audience leaves.
It's like, oh, God.
Alienating all the werewolves.
See.
You know, I used to be one of them.
Oh, you got better?
And I got better.
Don't keep it outside, please.
you just keep that, that out of here.
I wouldn't hurl the... You're going to take out an eye with...
Wait,
it's hurling little rocks.
Oh, you're throwing candy at people.
Yes.
So if they ask a good question or a bad question...
Like, rock hard candy. Okay, so the best answer for this is, unfortunately, to plan ahead, which I'm answering this email now at the show. It's a little too late for that.
Tomorrow.
But, well,
I'm thinking plan ahead before you get to the convention. Go to the local forums in that area. We have a bunch for the state of Texas. The Lone Star Forum has cities for each area, or four sub-forums for each area. TAF, the Texas Area Furry Friends. And just kind of, and maybe try to form a little meetup somewhere on there. It's probably the best way to do it. I know Anthrocon is much larger in terms of having the local furs meet up group. Like, there's like a Texas furry panel at Anthrocon, and that's a good opportunity to meet like a whole ton of Texas furries. But we're a little smaller scale here. Most of the people from here are, the majority of them are going to be from Texas and Oklahoma anyway, and the surrounding states especially. So you stand a real good chance of, you know, finding people not too terribly far away from you. But I definitely plan ahead, make some friends online before you get to the con, and make plans to hang out and meet people in person when you finally, you know, get to a con.
But as we always say, I mean, when in doubt, go to the your state furry forum, and usually it's not dead. Unlike Mississippi's. But nobody lives in Mississippi.
That's because, you know, Buzz moved here.
Right. Sometimes they're dead, and then sometimes, hey, you start your own group. Start a meetup group, or start a something free like a LiveJournal community or something like that. I mean, some people still use LiveJournal.
The
communities are actually still quite active. Even
I think it's mostly the Russian mafia, though.
Yeah.
That was ICQ. LiveJournal for a better tomorrow. Okay, so who wants to read another email?
Let's get Shiva reading one.
Oh, you.
She can get all L shaped up in here. Right.
You operate the phone okay?
No, I have to link it.
You need my help?
Yes. Push the button.
I'll push the button and it's off.
Oh, let's see.
What did you write on this? That you've got, like, your delicious treats up here.
Oh, just a description. People kept asking me.
Yes, can I have one.
Can I have one? Yes!
So Shiva makes these. She mentioned it on a show a couple weeks ago. These delicious chocolate dip candied oranges, and there's like,
oh my god, they are gorgeous.
There's like 10 pounds of them in this container. So,
well, that's what's left. It was full. I'm down to about a third. So
I think we have a box of them at the Planet table. So after the show, if you guys want to step yourselves,
most amazing things ever. You listening at home can't have them.
Yes, and I love the white chocolate ones.
So come to Furry Fiesta in 2013.
Bringing up the email.
Okay, which one? I
randomly selected one, and it's like der.
Okay, like an alcoholic, I preloaded most of my emails. So. Which one?
I was trying to find one.
Uh-oh.
Here. Just now. Okay.
Oh, what the?
Oh, boy. So, I have an email to read after this next one.
Oh, my God. Oh, not kidding.
I'm glad that he's...
Including the two and CC fields.
He's upgraded from the paper and pencil.
Paper and pencil on a napkin.
Yeah, and Oklucon is just scrawled with charcoal on a leaf. Because that's how Oklucon rolls.
Okay, my phone is still derping and trying to get pull down anything. Let's see. Make sure it's not supposed to be kept anonymous or supposed to be read on air. Are you giving me a long one?
It's the first one.
She said.
Oh, nice. Thank you for your contribution. That.
So long and hard to read.
Let's see. Hello, Notcast. I recently started listening to Notcast again, and it's been a while since I've listened long.
Yay!
I've laughed this
Take
hard.
A shot every time you see a fucks up. I'm dead.
Fuzz, hit me the Coke Zero.
Wait, that's Cherry Coke Zero.
Whatever it is.
Rather relevant since we'll be reporting on very fast. If you read this on air, it will be my first email to be read on the show. Woohoo!
Congratulations.
However, whether this gets read aloud or not, I would really appreciate advice you might have. I was sitting next to my friend one recent day when suddenly we found ourselves on the topic of fursuits. She's not a furry, but she likes horses and goes riding weekly. And it had apparently never occurred to her that there were horse fursuiters. Continuing on the topic of fursuiters, I brought up pictures I took at ACO8, the only con I've ever yet attended, and the next thing we know, I was looking through a list of fur cons on Wikipedia, and she was wondering when the next ones were. Gateway animal, horse, fursuit. We soon discovered that the vernal equinox was happening in about a month, and coincided perfectly with our college's spring break, along with being close enough that to not rule out on account of travel time. And within the next few days, she had asked her parents to use the car for a break. We had booked a room in Toronto and registered for FE, and I had asked my parents to send my passport to school. Everything was falling into place. But now, while everything's still going on just fine...
Why would you do such a thing?
He told me to.
I was telling you it's her ammo.
No, it's everybody's ammo. I got to all throw it.
I eat ammo for podcasting.
But now, while everything is still going just fine, I'm beginning to wonder how to approach this. I've never really had any experience introducing someone to the fandom who wasn't already interested, at least not to the extent I would imagine a convention would involve. So my question is this, what do I do? I think just letting her explore for herself is probably the best idea, but there might be exceptions to that. If there's an 18-plus only panel and I want to attend, should I suggest she finds something else to do in the meantime? Should I skip it? Should I invite her to come along? Should I simply tell her where I'm going and let her fill in the rest? In the end, no matter what I do, she'll have to make her own decisions, but I recognize that she may be looking for me for guidance. In both what her first con experience and her first large-scale in real life experience with furry in general. Thanks for any advice you can leave, and keep the casting those knots. Ryoki. Yes, I realize that some of my words are clunky, but there is no underage issue. In fact, she's older than I by about 25 years.
All right, so con virgins and a furry con.
That don't know much about
I would
the
suggest
fandom.
Not bringing them to an adult furry podcast. This is horrible.
So yes, I'd advise you don't bring them to Notcast. But you were going to say...
Well, we won't be at Fernal
Equinox. No, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just lending I was just lending some color commentary.
Ah, yes.
You're looking ponderous, like the website.
I've got a beard. I have to stroke it.
Yes. it's very European of you. I was like, all right, look, if she's willing to take that step and come to a furry con, she's going to go through the dealer's den. She's going to see some shit. And, you know, if she runs away screaming, you probably shouldn't take her to a panel, adult panel. But, you know, if she's like, horses.
I've never looked at horses this way before.
I feel tingly.
Sometimes people are more resilient than you give them credit for. And you can kind of separate from the hip at one point. And we had a friend a couple years back to... I'm sorry, children, am I interrupting you? Oh, okay. We had a friend a couple years ago who was like, I don't want to see any adult stuff. I'm really terrified of it. Ew. And her friend that had brought her there was walking her around the dealer's room and, you know, would come up upon some of the well-known artists, be like, you can look at that book, Don't look at that binder. That's full of porn. This one's safe. This one is terrifying even to me.
There's always one of those.
Just kind of gave her the walkthrough there. The following year, she has a little friend with her, and she's playing guide for them. You know, I've seen horrors within this book. You're not ready yet.
She's like, the first year I didn't look, but the second year it's kind of hot. But do you have to take it a year at a time?
Well, she did appreciate, like, some of the... It's a slow process sometimes, and, you know...
The descent into fur faggotry.
Everyone has their comfort level. But, you know, she was comfortable with, you know, tasteful nudes and stuff at that point. So, I mean, I put a little trust in your friend also and let them kind of go their own way. Okay. On the related topic of the slow descent into furry madness, I followed an artist on FA for a long time. And she's always just drawn very beautiful images that were always very clean. I mean, the characters were always mostly uncloaked because they were kind of tribal, but nothing showing or anything like that. And she'd get requests for adult material and turn it down. Like, I don't draw that. She started to get a little racy. So she draws a picture, character on all fours, tail raised, some bits showing. The next picture is cock and ball torture. So it was like,
wow.
She was some sort of Corvette that went from like 0 to 60 and boom. Not just...
Or else she'd been drawing it all along and just decided, okay, now I can post it.
So instead of zero. Yeah.
But it's like, this is part of a series. First part is tasteful nude. Second part is just the hardcore.
So instead of 0 to 60, it's 0 to CBT?
Pretty much, yeah.
I feel like it's an analogy between just putting it in the tip and going...
Whatever could you
what
mean?
What is this an analogy of? What kind of monstrous machine are you describing?
I think I've seen videos of them on the internet. They're rather terrifying.
I once saw a film on the internet about just that. It was very enlightening.
What so how stuff works.
Do we want to read our email? By the way,
of course, Kyle.
Can I add one thing, actually?
Absolutely.
One of the things that I like to talk about, especially when introducing non-furries to furry fandom, is and it seems like you, Ryuki, have a good attitude towards it, but it's don't be ashamed of the fandom. If you go in there with the attitude that and you're taking around, you're like, oh, I kind of like this, but don't, you know, it's kind of icky and a lot of people don't like it, and she's going to start getting these vibes that you're ashamed of stuff and it's going to color her reactions. Bye. And if you go in with just sort of the attitude of, this is supposed to be fun. There's all kinds of stuff in here. I like some of it. I don't like some of it. You don't have to like the same things I like. You don't have to like any of it. Just, you know, have fun. It's cool. Whatever you like, you like. Whatever you don't, you don't. And, you know, let's just talk about it afterwards or talk about it during. And if you want me to explain something to you, just come and ask, and I'm happy to explain it. And I think that your attitude... Like, she'll catch on to the way you're feeling. So if you project that you're ashamed of some of the things that are going on, she'll pick up on that, even if you don't say it explicitly.
Her mind will start filling in the blanks, which will be far worse than the actual reality.
And you are right. I mean, you just got to be like, yeah, this is stuff I like. It's cool.
You know, and don't proclaim it like, you know, walk into the viewers and welcome to the Hall of Dongs. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it out like
unless
that.
She's into that.
She rides horses, so I guess. Right there at the entrance.
She might look at the horses and be like, why did they draw them so small?
Depends on the artist.
Well, so not Gideon Single.
I wasn't going to say it.
I did.
Do you want me to be your email holder here?
I have an email. This is the ultra-sized tablet version of an email. To Notcast Crew, subject random dreams and their meanings. Dear naughty, naughty Notcast, recently I have been having a recurring dream. I'm on a ship, and I am the only human aboard. The rest of the ship are anthros from Narnia. Here's my dilemma and question. Since I have been happily in a 15-year relationship with my mate, is it considered cheating to do the Minotaur ship captain's bidding? Also, should I feel guilty? finally, what sort of dreams have each of you had that you'd be uncomfortable sharing with your mate? Can you share it now with us?
Just by making waves to me from the audience.
Thanks in advance, your knotted tied best friend forever, Horse's Ghost, the newly white-tailed deer. All right. It's going to be very hard to change to go to the next email on this version.
I'm hitting next and nothing's happening.
No.
It's not zooming in.
They haven't settled that page with Apple.
They do that on the tablet and we get taken.
You ought to read the URL that's written at the top of the slate also.
www.hotmail.com. Then, of course, there's various CGI bins, etc. 013.47GHC037221.
Just the Hotmail.
I was like, it's Hotmail, M-A-L-E. Oh, but that CGI bin, that's sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's so naughty.
Oh. I'm in it for the hex code.
I love that CGI bin because I'm dirty like a trash man.
So, a Minotaur ship captain in a dream.
Is that cheating?
It's a dream.
Is there
of course
really,
it's not.
Is that a question?
No. He's cheating in his heart.
I don't.
That's a dream with his heart.
I know his brain.
Dreams with his brain and occasionally his penis.
I would say if your mate says, let's go to bed, and you say, great, because I need to get to sleep and dream again. You're getting closer to cheating, perhaps?
Right, yes.
I'm tired. Honey, you haven't been up that long. I know.
Sorry, I've got some really good dreams to get back to.
I don't know why you keep popping sleeping pills, especially when you're driving.
Gotta get to Narnia.
Is not an aphrodisiac.
It's like, just because that's how it worked in the books, dying doesn't get you into Narnia.
I heard this joke years ago, like one guy turns to the other and says, dude, I just had the most amazing dream. And the other guy says, you know you're driving, right?
That was a real 911, too.
Oh, was it? Apparently that was a real 911. Okay, do we want to, if anyone have any other remarks, or then we can maybe open it up.
Should we tell embarrassing dreams? Yes, why don't we just tell all of our embarrassing dreams right in front of this big audience? That sounds great.
And these fantastic microphones.
Let's hear them.
I'm terrible at this because I don't often remember my dreams, and lately mine have been really depressing.
Bullshit.
So, no, they really have been really depressing. So I'm not going to share any of those. That would totally bring the mood way, way down.
I can share a dream that it wasn't my dream so much, but I did feature in it. Who'd like to hear it? So I've got this friend, right? And he had a gay phase.
A phase.
I'm sorry. It was a face or phase.
A phase. So he's got a girlfriend and a kid now, and that's totally fine, you know. We don't discriminate. But so during his gay phase, he was really into Brad Pitt. And one day he dreamed about getting busy with Brad Pitt, right? And this was a big deal for him. This was a dream that he woke up from eventually in cold sweat, because apparently what was happening, he was getting busy with Brad Pitt. Now imagine this, right? If you're into this sort of thing, getting busy with Brad Pitt, right, on the bed with, I guess, the chandelier and the angel choir and everything that usually comes along with bedding a giant superstar like that. And then evidently in this dream of his, I burst into the door and do this wavy arm dance. Completely ruining the mood, and he wakes up in a cold sweat, shivering and crying.
You degayed him.
And therefore he now has a girl and a child, yeah.
Wow, you've managed to bring a child into the world. Way to go.
I pretty much tell my husband all my dreams when I wake up, so I don't really have anything I wouldn't tell him.
I'm kind of the same way, where it's like I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I had the most fucked up dream, and I just recount it, and he's like, mm-hmm,
yeah.
That's about par for the course.
I get that same reaction too.
I have boring or nonsensical dreams, and it usually works stress related, but there's one that I remember. This was like 10 years ago, or I worked in retail, and we frequently got like crap back, and we had to send it back as defective or whatever. Nobody ever wanted to do this job, so the stock room is full of them. And it was vacuum cleaners. I was working in the vacuum cleaner department at the time. And I'm also a huge Doctor Who fan.
Oh boy.
So the dream was I'm standing in the middle of the department, and the vacuums are rolling towards me by themselves, you know, lighting up and screaming at me. And I'm like, these were supposed to be sent back. And my coworker is yelling from the back of the room, they just won't go away.
Did they scream exterminate?
They might have. I don't remember if they did or not, but I remember the little lights in the front of the Hoovers going, like the little Dalek lights.
So the real question, Fuzz, is were the vacuum cleaners sucking or blowing?
They were screaming something. I don't know what it was. So that gives you a glimpse into my mind, which is not related to the stories that I write. Thank God.
It was sexually gratifying?
No. Yeah, I missed that part of the email. It was not sexually gratifying.
Did you wake up with a boner?
No, I didn't.
Did you wake up receiving a blowjob?
So that would make sense.
Yeah.
That's just...
So, next?
Okay, well...
I can't think of a dream that I...
would want to share?
No, I can't think of one that would be interesting.
Was there a dream where one time you were a triangle? That would be scary.
Or a square.
Oh, wait.
Or a line piece.
Oh no.
I was like, oh, he's going to come smack me, but no.
You would have those nightmares where you combine with another row and cease to exist.
Tartarus exists.
It's a constant danger for the L shape.
It's our natural predator.
The little block with the four is like your natural predator. So does anybody want to come up and say something in the microphone, ask a question right here?
Yep.
Funny Altu in front. Yeah, yes.
Got
sir.
The mic.
And the nice hat.
Okay. Classy looking.
No, Buck, the nice hat.
Oh.
All right.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
Oh, okay. My name is Reggie, aka Champagne Wolf.
Hello.
Yes, Champagne.
My first Notcast attending, so sorry for me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yay!
Yeah. Okay, well, we're on the subject of dreams, so forgive me for being a little bit, if I ramble for just a little bit.
I assure
I'm
you.
I'm Champagne Wolf because for a reason.
I assure you, your spelling is better than some of our emails.
You're making more sense than Shiva's reading right now, so please continue.
Well, I was wondering if you got, on the subject of dreams, can you guys actually have a feeling about interpreting dreams or something like that? Because there was one that I actually had that was actually something very powerful, very confusing, and oddly very erotic. So I'm just saying, if you guys are able to interpret dreams, are you able to do that in a certain way?
I mean, if you say yes, will you tell us the dream?
Yeah. We'll give it a shot. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, I've had dreams where I've been able,
but bring it on.
Let's see.
We won't laugh at you, I promise.
All right. Well,
they won't.
It was just, that there was this one dream that I had where I was walking down the street on the way back home from work, and there was this man who would actually was actually following me. He was type of guy. He was big. He was muscular. He was gruff, and he was very, very focused on me for some odd reason. He came to my place of work. He didn't order anything. He didn't want anything, and he just all he wanted was water. And he just sat there. And you know, my boss is like, "Who is he?" You know, my boss, she's 60-year-old Taiwanese dragon. So she's all like, who is he, why is he here? You know, I said, I don't know, but he's kind of cute, let him stay. So when we were closing up, for the night, and I started on my walk home, you know, this guy was following me. And at this point, I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. So I was just taking, you know, side roads and whatever, just mm-hmm. to see if he actually would get off my trail, but oddly enough, he wouldn't. And next thing you know, at this point, I was like, okay, this guy is not going to let up on me. Not at one point or whatever. So I just dashed into an alley hoping that he didn't see me. At that point, he runs to the alley and I'm just, you know, hidden behind a dumpster. Yeah, hidden behind a dumpster would be. And then he's sniffing the air. Just sniffing the air. It's like something out of a, like, Wolverine or some shit like that. So it's like, I'm just sniffing the air. He's like, found you. I'm like, what does he mean by found you? And he just morphs into this big, rough, powerful, hot looking werewolf.
Sounds like an awesome dream.
Oddly enough, I was scared.
Writing this down.
So in the next
I think I read it on So Furry Fuzz.
At that point, I just, you know, he was just making his way through the alley. I know he's going to find me at this point. I just throw my laptop bag at him and I just break out into a full-on sprint and then just run away into the alley. And this guy is, you know, all on all fours, just racing to catch me. And at this point, he does catch me. And he claws at me, he sniffs me, and he just throws me over his shoulder and he just bounds over, you know, the parking lot where the alley was and off into the night until we get into a park. This place is called Cherokee Park. That's where I live. And at this point, he's making these, you know, guttural voicing tones. He's like, mate.
So again, I think we might have read something similar on this on So Furry.
If not, we will soon.
At this point, and I'm just, you know, scared. I'm like, oh God, no. And on a small unrelated note, there was like a scary incident that actually happened to me like a couple weeks back. But this one, it was like, I kind of wanted it to happen. And first, he, you know, pinned me down. And then, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then,
I think we can imagine.
Yeah.
Go on. Exactly.
He's dirty fox.
He just,
with the claws,
he rips,
right?
He rips off my shirt. You know, just my shirt. And then he latches onto my shoulder and just bites me. And I just, you know, let out this blood curdling scream, and then he starts, you know, lapping up the blood, and
that took a weird turn.
Thing, you know, and he's like cuddling me.
Yeah.
Cuddling me.
That's a bit,
you know, it only hurts till the suture seal.
And it goes on to this point where, you know, he really, like, keeps, you know, whispering in my ear, mate, you know. And
my interpretation is you were horny. I'm sorry that's so base, but it seems.
I don't know.
It seems very straightforward.
I'm not a psychologist, but it sounds to me like you're a furry brother.
Well, I was going to offer perhaps a slightly deeper point of view. It is somewhat straightforward.
6, 8
Probably 10 inches, because it is a big werewolf. What I was going to say, though, is probably it's just the dude in your dream represents like your more ideal. You know, you want to be this big, virile, manly man. And you're a good-looking guy, but you always think you could probably do better. And the werewolf is what you want to be. And the biting could be, you know, so your subconscious trying to tell you to, you know, be the werewolf. You know, he's sharing his vampire werewolf. His vampire-ness. Yeah. His werewolfness with you so that you can embody that virility and girth.
I was told a long time ago by someone that every character in your dreams is an aspect of yourself. And my reading of it would be kind of similar, but I would say there might be a part of you maybe related to desires and sexual preferences or fetishes or something that kind of scares you. But it's some powerful driver. Mm. And so you're kind of intrigued by it, but also afraid to let it out and express it. And
that's
what the dream is kind of saying is this thing is big and strong, and it's trying to take over you, and you're scared of it, but at the same time, you kind of want it. And so...
Yeah.
You want to mate.
And at the same time, another small part of you is 60-year-old Taiwanese lady dragon.
Yes.
Well, thanks for ruining that.
No. Kyle had excellent points.
It's just interesting because it starts out in your sort of very normal life, in your workplace with people you're familiar with, and then there's this intrusion into the normal life, and he chases you out of your normal life and into something completely different.
Yeah, so I mean...
Assuming you don't normally scavenge among dumpsters.
Assuming you don't usually end up in Cherokee Park rolling around with werewolves.
I mean... Not that you would probably have a problem with that, but, you know... Like, hey, big old werewolf wants to fuck. What am I going
to
say?
I've never been to Lexington, Kentucky, so I don't know what the werewolves... Louisville, sorry.
The one with the horses and the things and the...
And the werewolves.
And the shapes
right.
And the...
Louisville, sorry.
All right.
But that might be perfectly normal for Louisville. We don't know. I haven't been there. But thank you very much.
Yeah, hopefully that is some kind insight. Of
thank you. Okay, thank you.
Oh, we have another hand up.
We had a very, very messed up.
Oh, hold here on. We go.
Okay.
Okay, this was a dream I had when I was around 10 years old. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And yours are pretty good, but this one was just fucked up. Okay, first off, have any of you watched the cartoon Ed, Edd, and Eddie?
Oh, yeah.
Hot dog pose.
Great. So you're familiar with the cartoon drawing style?
Yeah.
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 In
that side.
Oh.
We have no question. No.
He was 10, so I hope not.
Are you now?
Un poco, un poquito.
Might be later. Wait, but all seriousness, in this dream, I was teenage or like really early 20s. And I was driving in this hoodless Camino flipper car. And it was all in this style. With me and my two brothers, we all looked really, really weird.
Ed and Ed.
Yes. I was Ed.
Ah.
The smart one was doing it. And suddenly the sun turns purple. Then the sky turns purple. And then from the sun. And then a meteor strikes out in front of us and crashes our car.
And you're sure you weren't high?
That wasn't a dream, brother. Your parents were testing acid on you. It was quality control, nothing more.
The LSD was on your pillow.
I thought that was from the Tooth Fairy.
Okay, and... My brothers climb on top of this thing, and that's how a crowd together, right? And they started, for some reason, preaching the word of God. And I'm just standing there going, what the fuck? And then later, the next night afterwards, for some reason the dream continues. I don't know if that's bad or good. You would be the expert.
You had a to be continued.
Oh, we're not experts.
We're
this show just took a really weird turn towards that.
Yeah.
And I'm not dreaming. I'm just like a third person, like ELO Gears of War, like this.
Yeah.
Style, over shoulder. Mm-hmm. I'm not dreaming. I'm yeah. Watching my brothers go door to door like those witnesses. Only they were wearing trench coats and doing nothing else.
Come to Jesus.
I'm sorry, I just had the thought that Kyle, the next time you do it on Sheath, I want you to describe third person narrative as, you know, like in Gears of War.
Fight through the pain.
Right through the pain.
Classical authors as, you know, Gears of War.
Cliff Blazinski.
Yeah. Just spring it you on Cam out of the blue.
Off the top. Which will be difficult because I assume he's going to listen to this podcast.
Oh, make sure he does it. I want to hear a good wine joke. But anyway, continue.
Okay. And they would flatter you, but not for the reason you suspect, though. Because by the time they had curled these freaky-ass needle-like armpit hairs, went down to their...
Okay.
And the Smith Siamese would kill people.
I think I heard something like this. It's okay.
I have that shit filtered out.
And this is why you don't put horse tranquilizers in your kids' meals.
Talk to your parents, man. This
no, well. And I remember that dream to this day, and I never will forget it.
Yeah, that sounds...
Yes, neither will we.
No, I'm not making a single word of that up. You cannot make this shit up.
No. Some high grade, what the fuck. Congratulations.
The needle armpit hair. Well, let's read an email and then we'll go back to...
Okay, then we'll go to this guy up here because he's been waiting like 3 rounds now.
We should have one of those number ticket machines.
Now servicing.
Yeah. We never change from 69.
All the numbers, 69. Oh, this is going to get difficult.
Severin, you're going to have to go back to your room and get the loop.
Mike, your turn. Read the email.
All right.
Go.
Well, he read horses.
I read horses.
Okay.
So you read one.
Khaki's turn.
Or Khaki can read one.
Okay. Or Kyle. What have you? Read an email.
I have a limited selection here. Let me see. So we did the one with non-furry goes to con, right?
Here's this one.
I've got one called...
In need
Jason Leiserman sent you $5 from PayPal. Is that...
Can we edit that name out?
Am I reading from the right pad here?
No, actually, he's signed emails with his name before.
Oh, has he?
He sent us the cheese.
Ah.
Okay, so...
Yeah, he sent us cheese and $5. He's amazing.
He donated to Horse Vagina. We appreciate that.
I have one by a person who was smart enough to put in the first line that he would like to be anonymous.
Very good.
Very good.
Excellent.
Excellent.
We'll start there.
So Jim Hawkins from, let's see, Mississippi. Well done. All right, no.
553 Pescadero Lane.
Hello there. Are we doing voices with the...
No, just use your normal voice. It's sexy enough.
Do the voice.
Long-time listener, first-time writer, and admittedly in a bit of a pickle. Like this guy already. I will attempt to keep this email short as I can. He has failed. With as much information as I can fit in, he has succeeded. So here we go. I have a long-time online friend that I pretty much spend every day with in Skype chat, role-playing, watching movies together, drawing, and generally having a good time with. And we've been doing this for about 4 years solid. Well, I guess had a friend would be more appropriate.
Oh.
We're not mocking him, but... See, lately we've been growing a bit distant, partly due to the fact that our schedules do not allow for the local role play we used to do, which made up a big part of our relationship. We tried Furcadia, Second Life, using forums, but we could never find the time again to do the role play we wanted. We've gotten into our fair share of fights, and for the better part of half a year, I feel that our friendship has changed. I'm sorry, I'm not normally this mean. Fast forward to the recent. Now, we, of course, as human beings, have other friends, as is only natural, but I found recently that my best friend was now actively role-playing with someone else via email. At first, I was pretty frustrated. Yes, outraged you should be. At first, I was pretty frustrated. Here I was, struggling for a year to get time to roleplay with my best friend, and someone comes along with a brilliant idea of just using email. It was a pretty face-palming. Okay, why did I not think of that before moment? But at the time of me finding this out, I got a little mopey, which my best friend noticed and called me out on to explain my behavior, to which I told him I wasn't comfortable with all of this. Unfortunately, this topic came up right before I had to leave for work, and I was not able to express my full thoughts, leaving my friend with a vague, I'm not comfortable, and posting a hasty, I will talk more about with you tomorrow. How are we? Oh.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
It's giving you a kiss.
It
loves you.
Jim Hawkins from Tennessee, who is anonymous, has some serious issues that he needs your help with.
You're ruining the show, Fuzz.
I'm sorry, totally. Please continue.
It's not often we have handsome Europeans on our show. You don't count, Fuzz.
Sabrin? Please. When I log on the next day, it's to a super pissed best friend. Apparently, they, best friend and friend of best friend, this is rapidly going out of control. They had a private talk about me while I was at work, and both came to the conclusion that I was jealous. My best friend, outraged, tells me that I have no right to act jealous over any other friend, and that I was emotionally abusing him by acting the way I did, and apparently making him feel bad over role-playing with someone else. I honestly and frantically, tried to explain that it wasn't the case, and that I was just frustrated that such a simple roleplay solution was thought of by someone else and not by me, but they only saw it as a petty excuse to backpedal from my actions. Every explanation I could give only made the situation worse, and it ended up with my best friend of 4 years blocking me and telling me to wait for them to talk to me, if they ever chose to. I'm at wit's end, and my adamant denials of being jealous only made them believe me more. Made them not believe me more, sorry. I don't know what to do or how to make the situation better, and unlike my friend, I don't have anyone else who would be interested enough to hear this story. This doesn't have to be read on the podcast. A simple reply would be just, fine for me, signed Jim Hawkins from Tennessee, anonymous. Sorry.
Well, that sounds like an unfortunate situation.
That's pretty sad.
Well, I mean, I know how that goes, though, because I had friends that I would do all that kind of stuff when I was younger, obviously. And, oh my god, text adultery! My mud husband was having a mud affair. How dare they? They went and killed dragons together!
Well, it's very much about someone that you're interested in spending a lot of time with, apparently being more willing to spend time with someone else than with you.
That is very true. And I think it was interesting that it's like, out of all the avenues that they'd been role-playing with, they didn't actually do through email, which is kind of strange, because...
Well, it's not the same. It's not the same as doing it live.
Oh, of course not. Fuck it, we'll do it live. What do you think? This question has left us speechless. Congratulations.
It's difficult. So this was someone else. The guy that his roleplay buddy, who was the person he was roleplaying with, was this someone he knew IRL, or was it all over?
That seems to not be the case from what I'm getting here. But like, the main issue seems to be that he got in a little huff and then he went to work, and then when he came back, they had been talking about him.
Mm-hmm. But they were talking about him in an accurate fashion. They were saying he was jealous, and he very clearly is.
Well, what he's saying is that his issue was that he was a little bit in a huff because he thought he was stupid for not having thought about email before. That was his issue, as he's describing in here. And they think that when he tried to explain that to them, that he was just backpedaling.
Yeah.
First question is, of course, do we believe him?
Well, I've also seen...
It's a fair question.
I've seen situations where people are maybe a little bit... They know that when somebody finds out something that they're not going to be happy, so they're braced for a backlash. And so when there is a negative reaction, they read more into the negative reaction that is actually there or meant. So such and such is going to be mad at me. So when they are mad, you're prepared and you go, you know, basically, fuck you! And they weren't as mad as you were really you know, they weren't as upset. They were a little bit peeved because you're braced for them to be have a ship fit.
But you're projecting your expectations on them.
There's there's a lot of assumption here, unfortunately. It could have probably been resolved with a more, I don't want to say confrontation, but a direct communication.
Yeah.
Between the three parties, that it just seems to have kind of one misconception and it's just kind of spiraled.
Yeah.
Out of control.
Unfortunately, at this point in time, you know, with them blocking you like that, the only real outcome is to wait it out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
Yeah. And a lot of that is you do kind of have to tuck your tail between your legs at this point and say, I overreacted. And I
A mea culpa is always a good idea when this kind of stuff rolls around because. Well, if they don't believe you now, if you keep pressing the issue, they're just going to think you're just trying to get... You have to let it simmer.
Let things cool down for a little while, and then try
simmer
an
down.
Alternate
simmer down.
Method of communication.
And sometimes when there's a fight with friends, someone has to be the bigger person. And whether or not you agree that you are completely in the wrong, sometimes you have to say, my bad, so that people get over the situation. It's just when you say the mea culpa... don't follow it with, but...
Yeah, just say, yeah. I'm sorry, can we talk again?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of internet apologies that go down that route, unfortunately.
It's like, I was wrong,
but
you're
an
asshole.
Exactly. I was wrong, but you put me in this situation I couldn't handle, as opposed to...
I was wrong.
No, to just, I was wrong, and it stopped
I'm
there.
Sorry, you're such a punk. No.
I like how Toon says on the Bad Dog Book Club says it, when you usually say, you know, we agree to disagree, well, one of us is wrong, so that's okay.
Oh.
Yes.
I think our listeners have a couple. Okay.
Well, we've been waiting for...
Okay. Feedback.
Let me stop and save. We're going on an hour here.
Okay.
It'll take half a second.
So, let's go out to the lobby.
Well, if anybody wants to snag these guys while he's saving.
Yeah.
A really pressing question that can't wait for the saving. So, if you fall asleep after the Minotaur captain and you have a dream about a satyr, are you cheating on the Minotaur captain or your maid?
Both.
Yes. That's a really pressing question.
You're a double cheater. Okay, if you want oranges, come
the
get them.
Microphones are off.
Yeah, the microphones are off.
Oh.
I think that reminds me of like Cuba.
Mine's not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh? You're going to have bonus content.
Yeah, this guy's still rolling.
Good.
This is going just fine.
Good. I'm glad.
It's the good stuff.
Good backups.
Yes.
We eat the whole thing.
Yes, eat the whole thing.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely. It's amazing how well chocolate and orange work together. Yeah. How's the saving going, Severn?
It's already saved.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to... What's up?
Oh, no, I was just wondering, do you put the music in now, or do you just know what you're going to play, and then you put it in later?
I'll stick something in, or I won't. I mean... Because live shows, we normally don't do a music break.
Oh, okay.
Quick, pull up something from AdamandEve.com.
What are these? Yeah.
BadDragon.com. Use code NUNO.
Yeah.
It's your own horse vagina.
Do you normally enjoy your viewers with candy?
Well, occasionally.
Did you want to come up or now or later or once we get back on? Okay, cool. So we're about ready to restart here.
All right, so.
So, Reggie.
Come on, we're going back.
All right, so we are live once again. And we're back.
Yeah. And a new challenger has appeared.
The other Buck.
Hey, this is Buck Hopper, but I'm afraid I actually don't have a question. I have a tradition.
So Oh boy, here we go.
What did you bring? Because I don't
know
the tradition.
To describe it to the audience, it's very long and firm, and it fits very pleasantly in the hand.
And I don't have one.
Oh. Wow, you're sticking your hand in. Oh my god, it's longer.
It just keeps coming.
Yes.
It's getting bigger.
I didn't know they worked that way.
What a...
What is it?
I think it's just for looking through.
Nice.
Hold on, hold on. There's something in there. There must be something in here. Let me tear this
Find the hole.
Find the...
This
I need it. I need a sword.
God, that's something.
He's working the shaft. He's trying to... Oh, my God. He pulled out a knife.
Okay, we're...
Jesus Christ.
So, oh, like, so the
this
humanity.
Is a live
pulled
bris.
Out a knife?
So, like, two people walk up with switchblades, like, flick. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well,
and a third on the way.
We have ourselves a little...
It is now a man.
Bris. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, there he did knife block it.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, there's a furry on it.
Ta-da!
Oh, wow.
Woo! Woo! Go fucking go!
That?
Oh, that is incredible.
That is some.
One of you read the.
What
does it say?
John Stote. Stote. You cope.
It actually says Ermine, and Ermine is crossed out and Stout scrawled above it in an angry hand.
You cat-faced
harlot.
I'm going to find you and snap off your cock.
That is a true expression of love.
Oh, that is magnificent. Thank you, Buck Hopper. For those of you who aren't familiar, under my alternate guise as Alex Vance, you know, my superhero slave name, I occasionally play this guy on Buck Hopper's Furry Basketball Association podcast. Oh, this is just fantastic. Did you bring one for everyone, though?
That's some good art.
That is
awesome.
Excellent.
So, who's the artist on that?
Yeah.
It's actually two artists. They go by the team name Rosenthal, but it's a series.
Oh, I know them.
Out in North Carolina and Deadly Chestnut in Germany.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Thank you. Awesome work. And that's one
Hi, Bucktown.
The internet. You can have two people live in different parts of the world creating beautiful things together.
Have you seen Heathen City?
Yes. Yes.
I hear the organizer is quite the classy like gentleman.
Hi, Bucktown.
Well, what I mean more is, like, that's a production from
Hello.
Pretty much all over the world.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We're segregated.
Well,
hey,
I was gonna say y'all can sit in the front this time.
Yeah, they are winning.
Yeah,
we're winning.
Am I gonna get smacked?
Yeah.
Oh wait. Oh. See, I halfway expected him to grab this and smack me with it.
Just start beating him.
Yeah.
State of Texas smells like Santorum.
That's no Santorum jokes. That's hard.
But you did raise an interesting point there, by the way, Bucktown. It's Fuzzwolf's birthday.
It is?
Oh my.
So happy birthday.
I'm not doing his birthday.
Sorry, what?
What does Santorum have to do with this?
No,
nothing.
Definitely not.
But it's...
I think that we should sing a song.
Oh, no.
A very special...
Bucktown, would you like to lead us in song?
Oh, Bucktown on mic.
Go, Buzzwolf, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. No, we don't give a fuck, it really is your birthday. Find me in the car, bottle full of rum. Mommy, I got the stuff you need to get drunk. I ain't making love, I'm just in the having fun. So come scratch my tongue if you ain't getting up.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you know us. So very concerned with that.
Yeah. So it's been said, but who cares about it?
While we are still off track,
uh-oh.
If I may, I have something interesting to show the cast.
Oh. Oh, boy.
A particular song with a very... Mike.
We'll have to splice it in at the end.
It is a very special song called Lick My Plump Fox Nuts.
Wow.
That's the kind of thing we'd probably cut in
after the show as opposed to playing it live. It's probably going to sound awful.
So send us that, and we'll take care of that.
So yes. Email us that. It's notcast@foxstuffers.com.
And
we will take a look at that.
Look at it.
Yes. We have the classiest email.
Oh, you do? Do you have something?
No, I was saying our address.
The email address. Yes.
So we did have a couple of other hands up before the save.
He's been our longest waiting gentleman over there. Did you still need him?
No, that was that was B-Hop. He's all right, take care.
Oh, never mind.
Gentlemen, we got two over here. Fight it out. Steel cage match. Go.
Two per center. One per Reeves. No, two per center, one per Reeves.
Wait, what are the...
Two Englishmen trying to get through a door. Okay.
So I can settle this really easily.
Take the microphone away. I want to watch him do this all night.
It's like watching cockfighting.
Okay.
All right.
Hello everyone, my name's Karis.
Hi Karis.
Hi.
I want to talk about the fellow there, that's the online problem. I actually had a very good friend, I was party to something basically that happened like this.
One question is, where's that accent from? Because it's good.
I love doing accents. Anyways, moving on.
Are you mocking me? Poorly, I might add.
Why is he coming after me? I do not like this.
Really?
He's not even English, he's Dutch.
Really?
Is that a gauntlet you've just thrown down, motherfucker?
Now that's something to
say. Your piece.
Anyways, I had a good friend go through something like this. And basically what happened is, I mean, he went through depression, but, I mean, the communications were cut off. And kind of really depressing what happened. And I wanted to say that to the person who was writing the email that it's unfortunate and there's really not much you can do because anything will drive a wedge. Because you could be like, no, but wait, this is what happened, but they're not listening. It's going to be really, there's going to be no winners there. The best advice I can give is just to seek out additional people, at least for comfort, for guidance, just to talk to. Because right now, if you're looking at a binary situation, you have him with one and you with none. And you're going to either have to hang out over your head until, you know, your friend realizes, you know, what really was missing. Because, I mean, you said you were his good friend for...
Four years.
That's a tremendous amount of time. I mean, relationships, I mean, it's for a community.
Internet time, that's an eternity.
So, really, it's... You gotta find the people who come for you, and you might just find another person like this, but you do have to wait it out, as they were saying. And you don't want to be in a bad position when that time comes. And it might never come, but you'll be in a better position instead of holding yourself to that time that when it may come.
That's really excellent advice.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. And we'll go to our man in black here, who was waiting next.
Who's so politely...
I still wanted to see the knife fight.
Well, to be sure, always good times.
There's always a sword fight.
Dance fight.
Ah, yes.
I am an offensive champion.
Okay. Guys, just
stay on target.
So, the one question that I really had was in an old episode of Notcast.
Oh, boy.
A rule was put forth that if you turn someone gay, you get a toaster. I have received my toaster.
Oh.
My question is, do we need to steal his toaster? Since he's been someone straight.
I'm sure he's more than made up for it.
Yeah, tell you what. You can have any of my toasters you want.
So
I just have to add it to the pile.
Hold on. I got an idea.
It's like, hold on, we have a conversation going over here we want to listen in on.
Oh, everybody.
Listen in.
Hi. Share with the class.
Go on, tell them the story, bud.
Yeah, I want to know what was distracting me.
Awkward silence.
We've got a little conspiracy of bucks happening over there.
So, the other buck. Buck two. Well,
that's the buck.
Which one's buck two?
The one in Scootaloo Orange.
Because we already know what happens when you convert someone to being a brony. They give you a bare flesh sign.
There are a lot of bucks around, so I was... And none of them are deer. What the fuck?
I don't give a fuck.
I'm sorry, I was telling the story of my Yakuza tattoo.
I'm out.
that was my Yakuza tattoo.
Have you shared this on a podcast before? Because I can't remember.
I do not believe it.
I haven't heard it before.
Well, you're about to. If you're comfortable with it, go ahead.
It's been told to a number of people. It hasn't been shared on the internet at large.
It's up to you if you want to share it.
Yes,
By the way, this shit you gave me is really strong.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't share?
That's how I roll. But yes, I do have a Yakuza tattoo from Japan. Rolled up a friend of 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 a friend. I knew a tattoo artist in Japan and decided, this is my final exam in Japanese to get a tattoo. Like, it's permanent. If your Japanese is bad, your tattoo will be with you for life. So, hey.
So you had to write it yourself. You had to write it yourself, or
The art was provided. The tattoo was negotiated. Payment was arranged. All in Japanese. Come in.
That is an excellent test.
Well, the tattoo artist had studied Japanese in high school, like you had studied French in high school. It's a concept. It's a language that exists that you don't really understand. So I arranged a tattoo in Japanese in an auto body garage in the office with a yakuza named Musashi, who decided, I'll be lowballed. It's a crazy foreigner, crazy tattoo. Yeah, sure, whatever. So yeah, 4 hours, had a tattoo that started on my left bicep, rolled around the back, showing the audience. rolling around. There you go. That took about 4 hours. The most real moment of my entire life, taking a break in the middle of the tattoo to have a Good Humor ice cream sundae bar.
Aww.
Having a strawberry crunch with my shirt off, bleeding profusely from tattoo open wounds, with a big Japanese mafia guy who quite possibly performed murder for the Yakuza. And just chilling.
I'm a Yawaka.
And finish up, go home, and come back to marry you.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's a tattoo. You know the thing you do when you're young and crazy. You just get a tattoo.
From a yakuza.
Yeah, in Japan. Oh, yeah. A mafia. No, we never said that. You don't talk about that. But,
we should add the aspect of Japanese culture that you told me before that I was not previously aware of is that only yakuza and people that have killed bitches have tattoos in Japan.
Yeah,
we kind of take them for granted over here. So when crazy white man goes to get tattoo from yakuza, it's
it's like, sure. Wow, there's a lot of aspects to this. This fucker killed a whole bunch of people.
So you have to get a prison tattoo.
Uh-oh.
Basically, yeah.
Whoa.
Like, uh-oh, prison tattoo. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay, guys, hang on.
I got a dick pen and a needle.
I think your story was too awesome. It might have killed the recording.
Oh, no.
Hang on, it did get to an hour 12.
Oh, you're in the tattoo after all.
Yeah. So you need to add another tattoo because you just killed this show. No. It did the disc too slow error again.
That story is never going to make it on the internet. You realize that?
No,
right?
No, that's never.
Every is attempting to
go
live
is
just
going to
kill
the
recording of your dad.
It's a dumb
slot result. Crazy 88.
It is only one slot.
Yeah, I saved it.
That's good. Temporary pause for technical difficulties.
Well, I mean, it did get to an hour 12, so I mean, we're.
We got part of the tattoo story.
Is that hour 12 on the first section or hour 12?
This is hour 12 on the whole thing, so. It probably got part of the tattoo, but when he talked about, oh yeah, for the Yakuza, the computer went, nope. I'm not talking about them guys, they're serious motherfuckers.
And we spliced that in. At that point, the ninjas came in and killed the show.
Yeah, because so, it came in with their nice suits and their swords and their guns.
And their cyborg robot monkey army.
Yes.
There.
Classy fuzz.
That'll be our bump into the next section.
Bum, bum, ba-da.
So it is midnight, wow. So did you want to start another file or...
It's... doing stuff.
Give me just a minute. Yeah, it's going to take a little minute here.
Take a nap.
I think, yeah.
Move to the cloud. That'll solve everything.
Yeah.
You're going to the cloud.
I worked with the cloud. It's not a fun, happy place. It's not
good. No. Did you find the silver lining?
It has potential. There's always potential.
Yes. See, that's the thing. It's like all of our live shows are some technical thing that's like.
You mics don't like it when we take them away from home.
They leave the house and they get grumpy.
It's not good news here.
Kaku's your backup still functioning?
Yeah, his backup's still going.
Both of them.
Well, we don't have anyone.
Yeah, so we're good.
Okay.
We'll probably. Get the file from you.
Pause and restart here now that I have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And just make sure that you've got that. So, levels are.
Oh, really?
Do we want to hold?
Okay. All right.
Maybe recording.
Yeah.
From the
oh, well.
Microphone. And not.
Could be worse.
I witnessed the rage.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
All right, so we're...
Do we even bother at this point?
No, okay, we might as well. I mean,
there's no point having the cable plugged in.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I have another MacBook. Huh.
Could we go and have
yes. Pardon the interruption.
Don't have any USB recording interfaces.
Mine is back. I think it's just headphones.
Well, you know us podcast professionals.
Yeah. I thought
that set. Is that an error?
You're right. It doesn't work from there. Okay, so seriously, are we able to do this, or should we just call it, or what?
Well, it's finishing saving. Give
okay.
it a minute.
All right.
I'm so sorry. It's never happened before. Please, it's all over your face. I'll get you a towel.
Not just 12 minutes of it.
No, no, there's an hour and 12 minutes to the show. I mean, it's not like it's a lost episode.
In other news, I've been nominated for a bachelor's. This email from Singapore says so.
Nominated for a bachelor's degree in dongology.
Well, you can teach the class.
Oh.
Another crazy slot I have. You're the
now, does it actually say degree?
That's a
it's
great
a
title.
What?
He's the best name of the title. And it's you're the bad dragon.
Another crazy slot. I mean, we're going to have to wait another 12 years.
Thank Curry's in the blender.
Yes. Will it blend?
Okay, let's try recording again.
Let's see that Dallas Christ.
Oh, God.
I don't think I've seen that one. I've been keeping up on those.
Okay, well, we're recording again. Let's see if this...
Okay, are we on?
We're recording again.
We're on.
Hopefully...
Okay.
Yeah, because we just warmed you guys up. Come on.
Yeah. I'm frightened.
We're back
now. Okay, so
the show is cursed.
Shiva, you had something?
Got an old friend that stopped by. Come on.
Okay.
Woo! This is a gentleman who, long time ago, in an apartment far, far away, used to be a roommate of mine.
Oh, boy. Tell us your juicy stories.
Well, do you guys like stories about huskies?
No.
Yes.
Like by which we mean yes.
Lucid dreams? You know what lucid dreams are?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Huskies and lucid dreams.
Well, I mean, huskies, at the ending of this, is not what you expect. And it certainly wasn't what I expected either. Okay. As you can probably tell by
I remember.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh boy, here we go.
Who here has owned the couch by the dumpster?
Anyone? Yep.
Okay, so you're familiar that the couch by the dumpster may have interesting side effects on animals. We'll start there. Okay, so at the time, Shiva was gracious enough to loan me what they affectionately called a kitchen nook, which was basically a laundry room with some floor, as a place to stay during my transition from the East Coast back to the center of the nation. And it was during that time that we rescued a couch from some raccoons.
It was better than sleeping on the floor, which is what you had before.
It was way better than the floor. It was about 2 feet off the floor, which was great. And my sense of smell isn't that great, so I wasn't discriminatory. That being the case,
me too.
Yeah, it was actually very comfy.
Yes, it was.
And that's why I fell asleep so quickly on it. It doubled as a couch and a bed and an interesting place to sit and stare at my companion, which at the time was my husky Sterling. Now, Sterling was a sweetheart, but he wasn't the brightest.
But he was a husky.
He was a husky. Well, I guess that explains it all. Well, one night, it was early on, I decide I'm going to lay down, and he decides he's going to lay down with me, so he cuddles up on my feet at the other end of the couch, and I drift off to sleep. Now, I like lucid dreaming. It's really fun. Dream really quick. If you're really tired, you can start right away. So I'm, flying around doing whatever it is that I would do in my dreams. And I remember this specific dream being very frustrating because it was the one time that something started happening to me in my dream that I couldn't control. It was very frustrating. So, flying around in your dream, everybody has a flying dream at some point. And they're like, hey, if you're good at lucid dreaming, you get the knack of flying. And you're like, hey, I'm going to go over there. All right, I'm going to go over there. And why are my feet on fire? That's not good. Well, let me just get rid of that. Why are my ankles on fire? That's also not good. This is not very comfortable. Then you sort of get this gelatinous feeling. Warm, interesting, different, and you have no control over it. Now, here's the twist. I woke up in a fit of frustration at not being able to control my dream, but also that I had just been pissed on thoroughly by my dog, who was asleep at the time.
Thoroughly.
After looking down at him, he had soaked through a comforter. And that's no small feat. I look down at him, he's still asleep, leg twitching. And I say, what the fuck? He wakes up, looks at me, and gives me this look. Now, if anyone here doesn't believe that dogs can show emotions in their face, they are wrong. Because huskies are extremely good at this. And the emotion that he conveyed to me at that moment was, shit. Because he was house trained.
That was the roughest but fastest house training ever. And that's a completely different story.
That's a different story. I have thousands. But let me tell you, if you're lucid dreaming and you're losing control, do yourself a favor and wait the hell up because something's pissing on
you. At this point, he's really mad at the dog. And I wake up, and he's just, he's really mad and frustrated at the dog.
I wasn't happy, but there is one convenient twist, and I was in the laundry room.
Yes.
Yeah. So, there you go.
If I had just get a Sterling peed on me.
I think my reaction to that is you need to teach your dog lucid dreaming.
Hopefully that's not what he was doing.
I would assume not.
He was dreaming of fire hydrants.
Well,
this fire hydrant smells like my master.
It doesn't matter.
This is so convenient.
So there's an embarrassing story for you.
Both of my favorite things.
My master and hydrants.
My master and pissing.
Oh. Yep. That didn't go any weird.
Kyle had something. Kyle has something.
I have an email with
sure.
Go right ahead.
You want to take more from that?
Oh, go right ahead. We'll keep changing pace here.
Okay. This is from someone who actually wants his name read on the air. The subject is "It's been a while." It says, "Hey guys, your curious kitty from the frozen plains, Zagoth, here with a new." Sorry, you guys know how to pronounce it? Zagoth. Zagoth.
Zagoth.
Zagoth.
Zagoth.
Oh, Zagoth.
Zagoth.
He's here the with, goth.
Here with a new situation on my hands, and I was hoping you could help me out. About a month and a half ago, my girlfriend had broken up with me. She was my first girlfriend whom I dated back in high school, and we had gotten back together a few weeks before Christmas. We shouldn't have gotten back together because she had gone through some trauma about a year ago, and the after effects of it was putting a strain on our relationship. He says stain, but I think he means strain.
I hope so.
She had broken up with me through a poem she had sent me on Facebook.
Classy lady. Well, what is her red
but wait, or blue? But wait.
Now I'm single and so are you.
Long distance broke.
But the next line's amazing.
The next sentence is, well, at least it wasn't a text like last time.
She's a classy lady.
Yeah.
Poetic as well.
Who doesn't say? We have to use our imagination.
That was a dirty limerick.
Now, on to the important part of the email.
Yeah.
I have been acquaintances with a girl at work for a while, and this last week I've asked her to hang out. My goal for my relationship between me and her is for it to become a friendship right now, you know, not taking it too fast, although I would not mind if it grew into something more. So my question is this. How does one progress a relationship so it is not friend-zoned? Awaiting your response, Zagoth. And there are two PSs. One is, what happened to Hoofers? Recently finished catching up with Doctor Who, and my God, it is amazing. Matt Smith Weary, await your return in season 7. And I think Fuzz can speak to that. And PPS, also, Homestuck for the win, which I can enthusiastically concur with.
Okay.
if you don't read Homestuck, you should be reading it.
Okay.
I've actually seen people cosplaying that.
There are a lot of, if you go to like comic conventions, there's a lot of people cosplaying.
Yeah.
It's really interesting and bizarre and huge.
It's one of those random things that Ko likes, and I'm like, why 4chan? Why?
The problem right now is it's like 5,000 or 6,000 pages of a webcomic.
TLDR.
300 now?
Oh, yes. Wow.
5 pages a day.
Yeah.
Again,
Lord.
TLDR.
That's a lot.
So, TLDR.
Who first?
Who first will return one day? My mate is glaring at me from the audience.
Well, you have to have new episodes, right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is that with the whole thing with my family and everything I went through, we didn't cover the latter half of last series or the Christmas special.
Oh.
So. We could go back and have that discussion, and we could also continue talking about classic episodes and stuff like that, and, you know, reading news that's coming out of the filming of Series 7. For those curious, they've started filming Series 7 of Doctor Who. So that is underway. No air date yet. This is your Who First moment.
We're doing it right now. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Teal, my Who First co-host, is not here right now, unfortunately.
He's probably off having parties.
It would be a podcast within a podcast. Very, very Castrovalva.
You're podcast cheating on him, folks.
Yes, you are. Oh, no.
He's going to send an angry text to you and then go away to work or something.
You don't text message breakup.
Oh
no!
Okay, Kelly. So, answer the question. So, actually, what was the actual
question?
How did to get out of the friend zone?
How do you keep a relationship from becoming friend zoned if you're just starting out?
Well, oh, okay.
You fuck her.
That works.
That's one way, yes.
That'll either progress it or end it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Fairly definitive.
That sounded decidedly American.
Well, I've been going native. Allow me to demonstrate.
Thank y'all. I'm just excited to be on the show.
And he had chicken fried steak.
Oh my god, I'm moving here. I'm so immigrated.
Now you must chicken fry the rest of the meats.
Yes, all of them. Yes. Fucking chicken fried broccoli, bring it home.
we'll get him out to barbecue before he has to leave Dallas.
Oh my god.
Hope so.
Sorry. Let's take this question seriously.
Yes. Well, I mean,
not give the text of the answer of fuck him or shoot him.
I would hope that he's not going to shoot her. I mean, they would his cock. So that's the only thing that's acceptable to shoot people with.
Starvin's answer is shoot her with your cock.
Well, you know, no, I'm saying it's like, you know, don't just ease into being her friend and nothing more. I mean, if you're wanting to stay out of the friend zone, you probably should, you know, after your friends, kind of be like, so you want to go out and date. You need to get your intentions out there. Otherwise, she's like,
yeah.
Oh, you're just going to, you're such a good friend.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to go date this asshole. And you're like, fuck! So don't do that, kids.
I think the basic thing is speak the fuck up.
Yeah.
Be a man. Have some balls.
Well, I'm not even in the terribly macho kind of way, but because if you don't show interest, then you're not showing interest.
Yeah.
Right.
And you've really got... I say this, but I feel like you've really got nothing to lose. But I mean, yeah, I guess she could be squicked out and run away. But I mean, if you're in that good friend situation now, I don't see that as likely. That, you know, you should go ahead and shake the shack. Sorry, I've lost the ability to speak. Take a chance. What are you doing
here? I keep trying to take a picture of what Sticky's trying to hide. So I'm trying to outweigh her.
I was going to say, one thing you can do is get some of that smirch, the let us fuck shirt. Just show up one day. It's like, hey, baby.
Just wearing the shirt and nothing else. That'll get the point across pretty well.
And you just invite her over. Let us fuck.
maybe not quite so blatant, but yeah, you should totally.
Gosh,
just go for it. I mean, obviously, in a very honest and sincere way.
I mean, I think it's all right to ask her out on a date and just say, you know, I'm really interested in you, but I just got dumped with a stupid poem, and I really kind of want to take things slow. But
yeah. I mean, it's really just honesty is the best policy, and being forthright, and it'll carry you a lot farther than you think it will. Do we want to bounce one back to the audience? Does anybody have anything?
Anybody?
To add? Let's see those hands.
Oh wait! Oh,
claws up.
There's Webster has one right there. It's a girl.
It's actually, firstly, a follow-up from way back. The person who wanted to find Texas furs at a Texas fur con. You know, we've got a lot of Texas furs on staff.
Mm.
And we can always use more help. So, join staff.
That's a very good one.
It is, actually.
More relevant. Best source that I could find for the labels.
Okay.
Information.
Right. Yes. The term referring to illnesses known as vapors is an archaic form for certain mental or physical states, such as hysteria, mania, blah, 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 ascribed primarily to women and thought to be caused by internal emanations related to female hysteria.
I love some of the solutions that work for hysteria in the bath.
Amazing inventions.
Yes.
In the 19th century, the vapors was also a polite euphemism for flatulence.
Ah.
So you were both right.
It has multiple meanings.
Now, tying back to
Thank
what Webster was saying, I lived over in Australia for several years. I started out and I moved to Dallas in 2000. Was very, very active in the community over here. I moved to Oz in 2004 temporarily. I didn't intend to be gone forever, but I was there for 3 years and I came back and I didn't think I would have as much problems reconnecting as I did. I mean, people had moved on, people had left the area, social groups had changed, and I just lost touch with everybody. They were still in the area, had no idea how to get a hold of them. And I was feeling really lost and put out for a long time. The meet I had started had been taken over by someone else, and just everything else. So, our friend Rick, edit that, our friend Guardian, on staff, who I was still very, very good friends with, started mentioning that they were thinking about putting together a furry con. And
FurryCon in Dallas?
Yeah.
Where the hell is that going
to
go?
And it was kind of being kept on the down low to start until it really was a solid thing. But after hearing a couple rumors about them planning this, it's like I kind of started showing interest. And then I started running the dealer's pack.
Hey, here we are today.
I've reconnected with a whole bunch of people I used to know, friends of friends, people. I mean, I knew Saverin before I left, but I kind of met him, got to know him a lot better since I came back.
Yeah.
So actually, yes, staff is a huge way to reconnect or get to know a community because you become part of one of the community hubs, and you have to work so hip to jowl with people. It builds really strong connections. It can also, you know, build really strong frustrations, but it's a good way to become really get to know people. So
hip to jowl, you said?
Excellent way.
Is like a Texan thing?
Was that a face to flank?
Is that a Texan thing or an Oz thing?
What?
Hip to jowl.
No,
It's cheek to jowl, usually, right? That makes more sense. Unless, like, one of you is monstrously tall.
Hip to jowl is implying a very interesting staff relationship. That's how you work your way up to senior staff, by the way.
Hip to jowl. Face to flank.
Special guest.
I don't know where that went. And I swear it is...
What do you sound like?
Huh? What?
Nothing. I'm mocking her laughter. I'm sorry, love. Absolutely fantastic.
No, you're not.
But you laugh like a nun.
I've never heard a nun laugh, so I'll take your word for it. And I assure you, I am not a nun.
I'm sure they can.
I'm sorry, but nuns physically capable of laughter because I have never in my life seen a nun laugh.
Punch one hard enough and she'll laugh. Try it.
All right. Let's see.
Seriously, don't do that.
Tyrant's had enough. He's leaving.
He's had enough of our nonsense. It's 12:20.
Oh, and the doors are locked.
Good luck, bitches!
I'm taking my normals and going.
The doors are locked.
Run for the hills.
They're going to throw in the gas grenades soon.
I like those windows. That's terrible.
Get us all together. We're probably going to go ahead and wrap this up, actually, because it is 12:21, and yes, I am.
One thing, if... This is a Shrine to Nightcast.
Mike, over there.
Yes, this is my other half.
This is a Shrine to Nightcast. Does that make her the nun?
She's a shrine maiden.
Yeah.
You better hope not.
She's already named after a goddess, and she
care
of all of us.
She's a shrine maiden, and well, in certain cultures, they had more than just several other tasks they performed on behalf of the church.
Like the anti-Vestal Virgins.
Yes. Anti-Virgins.
Draining the sacrifice before the sacrifice.
Yeah, totally.
Does that make you guys a sacrifice?
Apparently. No, it makes them my choir boys.
Oh my. So it's 12:27.
It's very late.
And
we're tired. We have to be back here tomorrow morning.
We have a lot of drinking ahead of us.
No. No, we don't. So, I want to thank our two very special guests, Cocky Doggy and Kyle Gold.
Happy to be here.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
And thanks to my lovely co-hosts, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And thank you, everyone, for coming here, and enjoy the rest of the con.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that note,
good night.
And big balls.
Good night. Big balls.